Now, there's a youth period summit. It's the inaugural youth period summit. Be held tomorrow in Adelaide. Let's hear about it from Helen Connolly, who's the excellent Commissioner for Children and Young People. Hello, Helen.
Good evening, Peter.
Hello. And we had kids in the other week talking about a sort of student representative council.
Ooh.
Yes. I'd be interested
They're doing
to
good,
know,
aren't they?
They are. It was a really good initiative. I'd be interested to know what that student representative council thought of lowering the voting age to 16, Helen.
Well, the Make It 16 campaign's a really interesting one. Lots of those kids have been involved with my work as well. I think most would be in agreeance. I think there's always the ones who say, no, we don't want any added responsibility. Mm. But, I think there's a debate about whether it should be compulsory or optional, debate about which level of government we could go first. Lots of kids are up for having local government go first and allowing them to vote voluntarily in local government elections. I think that's worth having a think about. So, yeah.
Now, Helen, menstruation is not something I know much about, as you would imagine. But why do we need a youth period summit, please?
Well, a really quick plot of history. 2019, I did a report into child poverty, found out that period poverty was a thing with kids saying they couldn't get access.
I know then about that, and there's been a lot happening with that, hasn't there?
Absolutely. Mm. And so I thought, in 2020, I thought, let's have a think about this and see what the actual issue is. And I released in 21 another report called Menstruation Matters, where we found out it wasn't just about period poverty, but there was a lack of education, a lack of, I guess, infrastructure in schools, in workplaces, in sporting clubs, and a lack of kind of the things that make equal participation for those who menstruate. So we've been doing quite a bit of work since then. We held a bit of a period summit for adults around policymakers. Last year I spent working up a menstrual justice framework for Australia, talking to South Australia about a wellbeing policy and period inclusive sports clubs. And in that, kids kept saying they were really trying to do very small things at a local school level. And there was enough of them to bring them together to say, should we hold a summit for young people where you get to talk about the things you want to talk about? And so that's what's happening tomorrow. A group of them have been working for, I think, 6 months or so on bringing together a range of young people and older people, experts, to actually have developed what they're calling a charter for what a period-inclusive school would look like, what would a period-inclusive university be like, and what a period-inclusive kind of sporting club would look like as well. So they're going to do some work and develop up, a bit like the kids who are doing the transport campaign. They're going to develop up a bit of a campaign strategy about how to actually get more people being more aware of the kind of discrimination and barriers and stigma that still surrounds people.
But I don't get the, and you'll excuse my ignorance here, Helen, but I don't get the need for inclusivity when, you know, it's incredibly inclusive, you know, pretty well all girls and non-menopausal women menstruate.
Well,
isn't that inclusive?
Half of the world, do, but then what's happening is, so I think you'd know that AFLW recently brought in the no white shorts policy.
Right.
So that's about saying, so for a whole bunch of girls coming through the ranks, the actual white shorts, or in cricket, so I've been giving a lot of support to cricket clubs to change out of colours, that becomes a real barrier to half the population at certain times.
Right.
Or going to work and not being allowed to access the toilets, or not having toilets that are easily accessible, means that they can't go to work for a whole heap of days. A lot of those who menstruate say that school becomes a real problem for them. Many schools say, no, you can't. your wheat bag on your tummy at that time, or you can't have pain relief, so therefore they don't go. Remote communities struggle with affordable product access. So all of these things, kind of when you dig into it, you'd be absolutely shocked, I think, at the kind of level.
Well, I'm learning here, Helen. I'm learning here. Now, you hold the wire, we'll go to Erin Hull, who's a 2022 Seaview High graduate. And are you going to be at this Youth Period Summit, Erin?
I am. I'm very excited and eager.
Yes. And what points would you like to make, Erin?
Basically, I would like to talk. I became passionate about period poverty when I was in Year 12. Yes. I did my Year 12 health project around period poverty, and I was really shocked and saddened with the stories and statistics that I was reading, and it made me think that people in my own school could be facing period poverty, and it made me very eager to make some change in my own school. So I worked with my school SRC and my wellbeing team, and I really pushed for period products to be placed in the school bathrooms.
Yes.
It was a tough process, but we got there, and I believe still to this day that period products are available in Seaview High's bathrooms.
Yes.
And what made me think that is possible is that a lot of other young people would possibly like to make changes around period poverty. I've met many passionate period poverty young advocates, and I think tomorrow will really help advocate and educate young people on how they can make changes in their schools. And also we're going to give them resources and a great diverse range of people that they could network with, that they could go back to their schools and be like, hey, I attended this awesome event, here's how we can make change.
Exactly. I know the period poverty campaign, and the government, well, yes, the government's done quite a bit on that in the accessibility of products for this, you know, for people who can't afford them.
Definitely.
Erin, which is a good thing, isn't it?
Yes, for sure. But I believe we've got a wide range of other areas that we can cover too. Like Helen mentioned, education around menstrual health is still not a huge thing in the school curriculum. So it's about looking at, yes, we can provide products. That's such an important part. But also ensuring that we're educating young people, and also ensuring that periods are a conversation that we are allowed to talk about, and ending those stigmas and those barriers around the way we talk about periods in our culture.
Well, that is the point. It's something that's not much talked about, is it?
It's
a secret, which is ridiculous since, you know, as I said, almost every woman this is happening to almost every woman for many decades of their lives. And, yes, it seems to be kind of like an open secret. Let's go now to Georgia Walters, who's a current Year 12 student at Seymour College. Hello, Georgia.
Hello.
Were you in The Little Mermaid, Georgia?
I wasn't, but I did get to go see it, and it was a fabulous performance.
Yes, I believe. Yes. Good. Now, Georgia, where are you on this? What points would you like to make, please?
Well, I wanted to discuss the ways in which we've worked together as a team of young people to organise this event and promote this event, and the ways in which I think the passion of the team itself really embodies that necessity for this event itself. The passion of each of these girls to come out and volunteer and want so deeply for there to be that conversation, I think really shows that there is change that needs to be made. And,
to build awareness.
And it's really been great to work together as a team and work with the Commissioner for Children and Young People to kind of bring that vision that, you know, when you're experiencing something for yourself, you feel it's something that you have to hide and be ashamed of, and it's a very individual ordeal.
Sure.
But to be able to sit there with like-minded people who want to make change is really, it's so empowering. And I think this event is going to be that for younger people who feel they don't know where to start, where, you know, it's providing them that opportunity to make it happen, and giving, it's less about trying to force people to, you know, this is how it has to go, but more giving them those tools and giving them the opportunities to create their own change within their communities. Mm. I think that's such an important thing.
Well, I hadn't, until Helen had mentioned, you know, the issue of white shorts, I hadn't contemplated that. So there's a lot of ignorance. And this builds awareness and, as you say, builds empowerment. And where is the summit tomorrow, please?
It is held at U City, and we've got on our registration, we've got the location for people to be able to come along. Mm. But we are using, I think the others mentioned it, we're using Human Ticks, I think is the name of it, to organise it. And there's a link to that on our social medias, which have also been run by the young people.
And Angela's making a point here on the text line. There is the cost of period products, $10 for 5-pack of girls' child's underwear, but $25 for 1 pair of period underwear, $125 for the same quantity of non-period pack. I've seen empty boxes of period underwear in the supermarket aisles showing girls are resorting to stealing these products because they can't afford to buy them. There's a point. There's a very good point, which no doubt will come up tomorrow. I thank you one and all. Helen Connolly, the Commissioner for Children and Young People, Erin Hull, a Seaview High graduate, and Georgia Walters, a current Year 12 student at Seymour College. Thank you. All the best to you. Good luck to your Youth Period Summit.